Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Wednesday to each and every one of you, no matter where you might be, up and down the Stand in the Gap Radio Network. It's a delight to have you there, and whatever radio station to which you are listening, or maybe even if you're listening by the World Wide Web, we thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl, and it's just a blessing to be able to be with you today. As is always the case, we've got much to talk about, and during the second and the third segments today, we're going to be having with us Pastor Andy Wells, who is involved in a movement called Stand With God. There's going to be a big Stand With God rally in North Carolina this weekend, and we're going to talk about that and how you might be able to be involved, particularly those of you who are in the North Carolina area, and how pastors need to stand up for truth and so forth. And you'll not want to miss the second and the third segment of Stand in the Gap today. But nevertheless, we do want to get started here simply because of the fact that last night there was a debate. I don't know how many of you saw it. It happened to be the Democratic debate for the presidency of the United States of America. And to say the least, and Sam and Dave, I really didn't bring this up to you men before this point, but I've just got to say that it was very boring. I had to work to watch it, and I shut it off soon, or early, I guess I should say, and wanted to shut it off soon. But I don't know. Sam, your take on the debate. It was boring.
Well, Gary, I think, you know, it was so boring to me, I didn't watch it live. I listened to some of it recapped afterwards. Now, I think Dave, when he talks about it, he forced himself to listen to part of it. But I think overall, Gary, I mean, it was highly publicized. I think Hillary went into it feeling that she had to come out on top. And I think the key thing is to restore her plunging trust factor. And that's what she was dealing with, and to try to scare off Joe Biden. I think those are the two things that seem to be obvious, and we can talk about how that happened. But I think when you have folks like New York Times and other who come back, and they summarize and saying that Hillary, in fact, was how do they say it? She superseded, or she achieved her goals by an astounding margin, more or less. I mean, a lot of people walking away that she was victorious. I didn't see anything victorious about what I heard or saw.
Well, Fox News is reporting that. As a matter of fact, I get a daily report from Fox News, and they say this, and I quote, Hillary Clinton certainly won the first Democratic debate. But if she couldn't have beaten the forlorn bunch, she should have suspended her campaign immediately.
There you go.
So, Dave, I don't know what you think about that, but basically what Fox News is saying is that she won, but she didn't have much competition. In fact, this report goes on to say, on stage were five candidates with a median age of 65, and the only current office holder isn't even a Democrat, but rather an independent socialist who called for, quote, political revolution and was seconded. It goes on to say, here was Clinton facing an even weaker field than Mitt Romney in 2014, which is saying something, with the added advantage that her supposed rivals spent as much time praising her as they did offering a bleak, usually embarrassed criticisms. I mean, Bernie Sanders really came out and stood with her on the email situation. I don't know what your thoughts are, but boy, boring.
Well, Gary, let me say this. The most troubling moment for me during the evening was her grating laugh when Bernie Sanders went on that profanity-laced tirade and stood with her relative to the email controversy. If she doesn't understand the seriousness of the three probes into her email scandal, then she is either arrogant in the extreme, which I believe she is, or she She just thinks she is somehow, some way, you're not not going to be facing the music on this. She's above it because she's a Clinton. But whatever the situation, Gary, it was hard to watch. Our engineer Russ said that I'm a glutton for punishment, and that may be true if I force myself to watch the entire 2 hours. But I did, and it was a journey into the surreal, to be honest with you. Hillary tried to out Sanders, Bernie Sanders, as far as the liberal policies, and she tried to move herself, you know, to the left of him on a number of very key issues, and even claimed to be a progressive, but a progressive that wants to get things done. So, you know, let me say it this way, gentlemen, and I don't mean this to come across the wrong way, but if that is the best the Democratic Party can put up, then the Republican Party ought to be quite encouraged and quite energized at their chances in 2016, because it was just absolutely difficult beyond belief to stay tuned into.
Well, I would say this, that if the Republican Party can't beat the Democratic Party this time around, shame on them. I mean, you know, we're having revival meetings at our church this week, and when we ended last night, I encouraged people to hurry up and get home and watch it. And then I could barely watch it myself and cut it off early. I almost feel like a hypocrite, but there wasn't anything there to see. And, you know, one of the things is, though, I do think, Sam, that Hillary was trying to offset Joe Biden a little bit, because it seemed like over and over again she did quite a bit to praise Barack Obama's administration. And I think that that was just trying to put herself up as the fact that she would be Barack Obama's third term and not Joe Biden, because he wasn't there last night.
Well, I think, Gary, I think you probably are right on that take. She did try to endear, and when one of the comments came up about her her failure, more or less, as Secretary of State, she went quickly right back and said, yes, but President Obama had enough faith in her to appoint her. That kind of nonsense, which is what you're talking about. It's a subtle try of a backdoor connection, but it was weak, and I don't think it carried a whole lot of ground. You know, Gary and Dave, I think the thing that really stood out to me, again, when you look at what they had to offer, there is no ideological strength of their positions, anything that they're talking about. I mean, all of them were about who could give away the most, from free tuition, you know, at costs of, you know, $75 billion estimate under Bernie Sanders, to $35 billion under Clinton's proposal, to Social Security expansion, to all they can talk about is handing out taxpayer dollars. That appeals to a very, very, I can say, unfortunately, an increasing segment of the American population who have been trained to put their hands out. I mean, it's the worst kind of enslavement, and that's what these people are running on, enslaving American citizens in linking them desperately to the god of government. That's what I heard coming through in those comments by all of them.
Sam and Gary, something pretty. Go ahead, Dave. Quickly.
I'm sorry, if I could quickly say this, Sam, I think you've hit the nail on the head. And even for some people that are Democratic, they found it difficult to watch the debate last night. I got an email from a lady who said, I'm Democratic, I couldn't vote for any of them, for the very reason, Sam, you just mentioned.
She did state profoundly that she didn't have an opinion on, or she didn't take a stand on the Keystone Pipeline until she took a stand on the Keystone Pipeline. I thought that was quite a profound statement. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to have with us a fellow that you won't want to miss. He's Andy Wells, Pastor Andy Wells. We're going to be talking about his involvement with We Stand With God rally that will be taking place in North Carolina. So don't go away. We will be back with more right after this.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing, as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
He was the son of a British Navy admiral who discovered Bermuda. He attended Oxford University and studied law. But at age 22, he heard a sermon entitled The Sandy Foundation Shaken and converted to the Society of Friends, or Quakers. As a result, he suffered imprisonment over three times for his faith, once imprisoned in the Tower of London for 8 months. His name was William Penn, born this day, October 14, 1644. Charles II repaid a debt owed to his father by giving William Penn a land grant in America named Pennsylvania.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
When Isaac took on the family business, it was his shot at redemption. He'd failed in school, but this was his second chance. So what happened? He failed. Again. But Isaac's story doesn't stop there. His uncle helped him get a college education, where he did well. How well? Fast forward to his full name, Isaac Newton. Perhaps the greatest and most influential scientist who ever lived. You probably know him from his theory of gravity. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge with another respected theory. This one is about failure. You don't have to get thunked by a falling object to know that failure can say more about the work than the worker in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And again, I encourage you to go to our website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, and learn more about this particular radio program and the other programs produced by the American Pastors Network. But at that particular website, you can correspond with us, as well as if you are traveling outside of the area And that is, you cannot, you're outside of the radio signal to which you listen to this program. You can also listen to us there on the internet, as it provides a link for you to our anchor station, which is WFYL in the Philadelphia area. But we're delighted to have you with us. And in just a moment, I'm going to invite David Kistler to introduce our special guest that we have with us today, Pastor Andy Wells. But before Dave introduces him, I just want to mention that he is with the We Stand With God rally that is going to be taking place down in North Carolina this Saturday. And this movement called We Stand With God is very, very interesting. It's very significant for the day and age in which we live. And I want to read for you what their website says at their home page. It says, being led of the Lord to reach the nation for righteousness' sake by bringing attention to biblical marriage and religious liberties, We Stand With God was birthed. The present deluge of immorality and lawlessness, which has taken the nation by storm, must be addressed. The only way to stem the tide of this downward spiral is by combating it with righteousness. The intent of We Stand With God is to rally citizens in public gatherings nationwide. These gatherings will draw national attention to the civil unrest that is growing in the hearts of this nation's citizens who love God and His Word. It is the desire of We Stand With God to coordinate meetings in each state so that the voice of the people may be heard. Elected officials must be taken to task regarding their responsibility to recognize the voice of the people in each individual state. States' rights have been trampled upon, and the time for change has come. We Stand With God is not an ecumenical movement, but rather an outlet for citizens to express their conscience on matters of morality, biblical marriage, and religious liberties. We Stand With God is not asking anyone to compromise their doctrinal beliefs, but rather WSWG believes that citizens must stand unified in the spirit of our founders, who chose the Bible as the litmus test for law and personal rights. Therefore, We Stand With God will exalt the Bible as its final authority for faith and practice. Finally, WSWG will coordinate with public officials so that the voice of the people may be heard. And when I read that particular statement that's on their homepage there, I'm telling you, I was blessed, I was encouraged, I was strengthened. David, to introduce our guest, I can't wait to hear what all he has to say about We Stand With God rallies. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, Gary, thank you very, very much. It is a delight to have Andy on. Let me just tell a little bit about his background. Andy was born into a pastor's home, as was I, so we have a lot of similarities here. Andy worked in the financial sector for a number of years prior to being called into the ministry in 1990. And he worked at a couple of churches prior to going to his current church, which is Galilee Baptist Church in Monroe, North Carolina. And Andy's church there in Monroe has a camp ministry, which is very close to my heart. Andy has also served as a school administrator, as have I. So we have a lot of connections here. But most recently, Andy has become a member of the steering committee for these We Stand With God rallies. One has already been very successfully conducted in the state of South Carolina from the steps of the Capitol there. Drew about 12,000-plus people. And this coming Saturday is going to be the rally in the area around the State House in Raleigh, North Carolina. And so, Pastor Andy, it is a delight to have you aboard.
It is a joy to be on the program today, and we're looking forward to discussing with you this morning We Stand With God Pro-Family Rally, give you an idea of, you know, our intent and where we believe God's taking this movement.
Andy, can you do this? Can you share a little bit specifically about the upcoming rally on Saturday, the location of it, the reason for it, some of the participants that are going to be involved in it, and then more specifically, what really you as part of the steering committee really desire to see come out of the rally once the 1 to 3 o'clock rally is complete? What do you want to see happen once the rally is over?
Sure, be glad to do that for you this morning. What we're doing on Saturday is we're having a rally for righteousness on the ground of Halifax Mall, which is the grassy area in between the legislative buildings in Raleigh, North Carolina. Our purpose for doing this is to awaken believers to righteousness and to the deluge of things that's taking place within our culture that has, you know, its full intent is to erode our religious liberties upon which this nation was founded. This rally will begin at 1 p.m. there on Saturday. The weather is looking wonderful with a high of about 67 degrees, zero rain on that day. It's going to be a great day for a rally. It will last from 1 to 3 p.m. We will have a 1,000-voice choir there that will be singing old hymns of the faith, just worshiping the Lord in that respect. On that day, we will have political speeches, but this is not a political rally. We have made sure that we have spoken to Governor Huckabee and Lieutenant Dan Forrest of the state of North Carolina about the fact that this really is just a rally for righteousness, and we want to hear about their personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and to hear about the fact that they stand where we stand on biblical marriage and on religious liberty in our land. And that's what we're dealing with. We'll have special singing on that day from local church groups. It's a very organic move, this We Stand With God pro-family rally. It's not what we would call professional, but yet it's done at a professional level. We'll be having preachers who will be there preaching on that day. Otis Duhart will be preaching, an evangelist from Knoxville, Tennessee. He played 4 years at Florida State for Bobby Bowden during the Bobby Bowden era at Florida State. We will also have Dr. Tim Rabin of the Beacon Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, who will be preaching on that day, and Dr. Ron Beatty with Return America, also the pastor of the Berean Baptist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He will be preaching on that day. And we're just going to have a good day of blowing wind into the sails of God's people. A lot of folks want to do something, they just don't have an outlet, and they do not know what to do. And so what we're trying to do is give them an outlet for the purpose of standing up just with their presence and letting them know that there are many other people who feel the way they feel, who believe the way they believe, and our nation is being taken by storm by a 3% minority in this nation as far as, you know, the alternative lifestyle crowd is concerned. And what we're looking to do is to show our people that we do not have to roll over on our back, stick our paws in the air, and play dead. We have a voice, and our voice needs to be heard. As soon as the rally is over with, Dave, what we're trying to do is this. In the state of South Carolina, we left behind in the state $4,000 to coalesce a group of about 500 pastors to go in January to our state capitol and to host a luncheon with the incoming state senators and representatives, and to just let them know we appreciate them serving our state, to let them know that we appreciate the fact that they have a hard job to do, and we want to pray for them by name, and we want to pray for specific situations that they're dealing with in their life and in legislation at the state capitol. As well, we want to lay in front of them a syllabus regarding religious liberty, the unborn, and biblical marriage, and we want to hold their feet to the fire on these issues to make sure that our religious foundations that our founders intended for us from the federal level all the way to the state level, we want to make sure that those foundations are kept in place, and we're going to hold their feet to the fire on that.
Well, Brother Andy, this is Sam. We are thrilled to death. This is all that you're talking about there is just absolutely a wonderful thing. And I know that we as a Pastors Network are encouraging this type of action for pastors actually to step out and take the lead. And I know we're getting close to a break here, so you may not be able to answer it all before we go. But I'd like to ask you from your perspective, you used a phrase a couple of times, you're wanting to be able to do this so that people wanting to do something, not knowing what they can do, can actually have this as a method of expressing their views. But I'd like to ask you to answer the question, what are you expecting and hoping that God will do as a response to this action?
Well, God moves in response to the movement of his people. The book of James said this, if we draw nigh to God, God draws nigh to us. The responsibility lies first in our lap to draw nigh to him. As we draw nigh to him, he begins to work and move. Of course, Second Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. The first move is on our part. As we begin to move, then God begins to move. And it's important that we fast, pray, but also rally the troops to move.
Well, you know, I think that that's absolutely true, and I appreciate that passage from James chapter 4 that you mentioned, Pastor Andy. We need to hear more of that kind of preaching today, and our people need to understand that. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen, but when we come back, Pastor Andy Wells will be with us in the third segment as we continue to talk about this great rally, Stand With God rally, that's going to be taking place down in North Carolina on Saturday. So don't go away. There's much more to come. This is Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network. We will be back right after these messages.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders campaigns each declaring victory in last night's presidential debate.
What this campaign is about is whether we can mobilize our people.
I think what you did see is that in this debate, we tried to deal with some of the very tough issues facing our country.
Clinton aides call it the best day of the campaign. The Sanders campaign claims more than $1.3 million in donations just since the debate started last night. A convicted cop killer is scheduled for execution tonight in Texas.
Licho Escamilla was convicted of gunning down Dallas police officer Christopher Kevin James in 2001. And he threw a water jug at the jury.
Fox News Radio's Evan Brown. Escamilla killed that officer working off duty during a fight outside a club in Dallas. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Working for you. Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYN.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today on how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today, along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr. I'm Gary Dahl, and of course we have on with us today Pastor Andy Wells, talking about a big rally. I hope it's a large rally. I hope it's a huge rally that's going to be taking place down in Raleigh, North Carolina this coming Saturday. And, of course, it's a part of the We Stand With God rallies that will be taking place all across this nation with the intent to get people to turn back to God. And, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to learn more about We Stand With God, I would encourage you to go to their website, which is simply westandwithgod.org. westandwithgod.org, and you can learn more about this nationwide movement. Again, Andy, it's just a delight to have you with us today, and thank you for taking the time to be on the program. But let me ask you a twofold question. Number one, what motivated you as a pastor to become so involved in this particular effort? I mean, as I understand, you're on the steering committee there for North Carolina. And then to follow that up, what are you seeing across the state of North Carolina and beyond relative to growing pastoral involvement in the arena of civil government?
Well, this all began, of course, in the state of South Carolina. I have a unique situation. I pastor in North Carolina. The church is on the state line. I actually live in South Carolina. And so I was working this summer at Wingate University doing some youth ministry there. And the decision of the Supreme Court on June the 26th came down, and I was very distraught over that situation because I understood that it was not really about rights for individuals because, let's just face it, most major employers were giving domestic benefits to those who were living in same-sex situations. And we understood that it was a militant move more to erode religious liberty than anything else. And when I realized and understood that, what I did was I began to pray. A pastor friend of mine in the area called me and said, what can we do? The three of us got together, three pastors in South Carolina got together, and we said, let's have a rally. And really the rest is history. The Lord blessed it. He got involved in it. And we just put our boots on the ground, and there was just really two of us that was traveling state to state, living out of a suitcase for 7 weeks, trying to rally people, motivate churches to get involved. We had over 300 people come from the state of Texas once they heard what was going on. We had people from Virginia and Georgia and Kentucky and folks from the surrounding states around South Carolina that just poured into the Capitol on August the 29th of this year, with over 12,000 people that gathered. We have had a rally very similar to what I explained to you earlier that the North Carolina rally would be. And that's what really got me motivated to move, to do something. And God really took the fluff out of my nest and allowed me to feel the pains of what our nation is going through. And the fact that Deuteronomy 32 said, of the rock which beget them, they are unmindful. And I began to see our nation in that verse. I mean, you know, when you I've visited the Plymouth Plantation, I've visited Plymouth Rock, and when I begin to understand historically as a history buff how our nation was formed, founded, when I understand what went on in Carpenter's Hall there in your state, in state of Pennsylvania, there in Philadelphia with our delegates for the Declaration of Independence and how God moved in that day. And I look at my nation, I said, I've got to do something. And we began to work, and God moved in a great way. In North Carolina, it's a little bit different, Brother Gary, because we've got a group of men who have caught the vision, and they are traveling every day, not just two of us, but scores of us are traveling the entire state from the coast all the way to the western North Carolina mountains, motivating pastors to move, and we're growing on social media by the day. I'm on syndicated radio nearly every day this week across the nation, and so God is moving, and I don't know what's going to happen on Saturday, but to Him be the glory, whatever it is.
Andy, let me ask you this, two questions. Number one, if you could just speak very quickly to what kind of turnout do you think you may have on Saturday, because I've heard some very large numbers, and I certainly pray that is the case. And then let me ask this, because I know you've got to be getting some kickback from some pastors maybe who don't think you should be involved in this. We believe here at the American Pastors Network you're the poster child for the way this ought to be done. But what would you say to a pastor or a group of pastors or a group of religious leaders that would say you're abandoning your call as a minister of the gospel to get involved in or to become engaged in that which is quote-unquote political? What would you say biblically, what would you say historically to answer that kind of criticism?
Well, you do not have to be much of a Bible student to understand that there were many great heroes of the faith that were involved in the political structure of their day, i.e. Daniel, for one. And there are many, many others who God used in a manner. Ezra and Nehemiah are two others that God used as they worked collectively with the powers that be of that day. I have not forsaken the gospel. I have not forsaken my stand as a pastor. I have not forsaken my church. I have not forsaken evangelism. We have taken a little bit of criticism from some people, and our response and our moniker has been, we like the way we're doing it better than the way you're not doing it. And we're going to stay the course, and I'm willing to take some heat to help to preserve the liberty for those who do not have enough backbone to stand. And that's really where it boils down. Most of these fellows who are, who are critical of what we're doing, most of them just simply don't have enough backbone to get up and stand, or either they're too lazy to stand. I'm reminded of what Benjamin Franklin said. He said, any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, and most fools do. And that's just where we're at, Brother Dave. And I'm a grandfather now, and if my grandchildren are going to have the same liberties I've had in this nation, then their grandfather is going to have to stand up, and he's going to have to fight for it. And if this ship goes down, and my grandchildren come to me 25 years from now, and they say, Papa, what did you do when this was all falling apart? I don't want to sit in my chair and say, I did nothing. I want them to know that I stood in the gap and tried to make up the hedge.
Amen. Andy, yeah, that's great. Let me follow up with you and bear down just a little bit more, if you could, on the message. You said at the beginning that this was a matter of emphasizing righteousness. You said this was not an ecumenical gathering from that perspective. If someone comes, or can they come, and are they invited to come from any denomination? What was your experience in South Carolina when this happened? And just a little bit of the message. I mean, you mentioned, about standing up and speaking out for God's model for marriage and so forth. But is it just the leading issues of marriage, for same, marriage and in life, or are you talking about other aspects of Christian living as it would relate to righteousness? Let's slip a little bit out of it, if you could.
Well, absolutely. I'm a separatist in the strictest definition of the word. And I even believe in ecclesiastical separation. But this is what I have explained to citizens across this country. I'm not starting a church at the state capitol. I'm facilitating a way for citizens who believe in righteousness to come out and allow their voice to be heard. Albert Einstein made this statement. He said, the world's a dangerous place, and it's not dangerous because of the evil that it's in it. It's dangerous because of people who will do nothing about the evil that is in it. And a lot of times we allow our differences to stand in the way of us doing something that's right. Listen, if I'm fighting and I'm in a foxhole, I really don't care what you believe about non-fundamental issues. I'm interested in you helping me fight to preserve what I'm trying to stand for. And that, of course, that's where we're at. And, for us, when we began to do this and we began to catch a little flack, for being pastors who were becoming involved, I reminded everyone of the Black Robe Regiment from the Revolutionary War. Our pastors, and particularly Baptist pastors, would stand in the pulpit and preach about what was going on in their nation, and they would take, our black-robed pastors would take their men out after services while the ladies were fixing lunch and would train on shooting their rifles, and then they would come back in and have meeting about, let's stand, and many of those Revolutionary War soldiers, those colonial soldiers, were men of faith, and many of them were Baptist, who stood in the gap and made up the hedge. And George Washington preferred Baptists to be their soldiers because they were standers.
Excellent. Gary.
Well, we certainly do appreciate all that you're doing, Andy, and thank you for taking time to be with us today. I'm wondering if maybe next week or sometime you could just drop back onto the program and share with us how the how the rally went, and we'd love to hear about that if that's a possibility.
We would love to be back on.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for being with us today, Andy. God bless you. Keep looking up and go forward in the strength of the Lord, and we know that God will bless you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. We have, as they say, some bills to pay. That means some announcements and so forth and so on. But when we come back, we will have more of Stand in the Gap Today, so don't you go too far away. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage their wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania. Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School.
Scripture gives us perhaps the greatest example of fire-tested faith in the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their faith was real. The lesson for us today is real. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. When confronted with a national law commanding them to fall down and worship an idol or be killed, these government officials decided to do what every government official and citizen should do. They respectfully disobeyed the evil law and obeyed God's higher law. To the king they said, "O king, we cannot obey your command. We serve God, the king above all kings. While we don't know if he'll save us from your hand, we know he can, and we're willing to die before we bow." Their decision was predetermined and unchanging. Their faith in God was unmovable. Their commitment to obedience was greater than their fear of death. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network asking you, is your faith only good when times are good, or will it take you through the fire?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net. You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources, categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and I would encourage you to go to the We Stand With God website and learn more about it. This is quite a movement across the country, and that website is simply westandwithgod.org. That is westandwithgod.org, and you can learn more about it and pray for it. It is something that's needed, as, of course, you know, we know the Word of God says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so what they're attempting to do through these rallies is to bring righteousness and to combat the unrighteousness that's in the world today, I should say in the country today, with biblical righteousness. So it's a good thing, and we encourage you to continue to pray. And if you are in the North Carolina area, you may just want to go over to Raleigh on Saturday. And again, if you go to the westandwithgod.org website, you can find information about the Raleigh event. I would encourage you to do that. Switching gears a little bit, we often talk a lot about what's taking place over in the Middle East. And I've been preaching on some of these things the last two or three weeks. I've been trying to build up so that I can get into Ezekiel 38 and 39 on Sunday mornings and talk about the Battle of Gog and Magog, but it seems like every week something happens that I've got to talk about it in light of Bible prophecy, and hopefully before the rapture happens, I'll get into Ezekiel 38 and 39. But the fact of the matter is, Sam, we understand that Iran is now sending in hundreds of troops into Syria under the cover of Russia. Very interesting combination there. And, of course, you know, we've talked about the fact that Russia has Iran, I guess it was last week or the week before, it actually invited Russia to come in and help them stand against ISIS. And now we hear that Iran is sending in hundreds of troops into Syria under Russia. Quite an interesting play going on over there. The question that I have for you is what are the implications of this move? As Iran and Russia increase their presence, what kind of reactions do you think will occur? What's going to be the outcome of all of this?
Well, Gary, I think a couple of things. One, you know, if anybody's been really listening to the news, I think we're hearing some truth. Sometimes we're hearing facts late after they've been actually happening, like, for instance, this one right here. This fact, a confirmation, I guess, that Iran is sending troops in really was today, and the Associated Press acknowledged it today. But on-the-ground indications would say that they were in there a week ago. And so there are some things we're finding out very late, and this is one of them. What it's doing is that it's crystallizing or galvanizing the efforts on the ground vis-a-vis their position relationship to the United States and the Saudis, which at this point have been funding the opposition to try and topple Assad, and or those who are leaning towards Iran, Russia, meaning Hezbollah, and some of those troops. So what's happening, and these are some of the comments that are coming out, some are saying that this effort by Iran will absolutely assure a renewed massive civil war within Syria, which has already experienced all kinds of that. That's one thing that's something happening. The other spokesperson for the Free Syrian faction, which is really the compilation of the troops and the entities that theoretically the United States is working with and publicly recognized as CIA-backed, those are speaking out and saying it's going to mean war. Those are the folks that are speaking out and say it's not right that this is being done. And some of them, even ISIS, is now just today called for a jihad against Russia. So what you're having is you're having a power play on the ground between what the United States is going to do, if anything. Of course, we talked about they've already moved the aircraft carrier out, so it's not there. And it was also confirmed today as well, as the United States has told our own aircraft, which theoretically are there bombing ISIS, more or less. They're not even going into Syrian airspace now, really complying with the Russian no-fly zone. So there's a lot of propaganda. There's a lot of things that are happening. I think we have to really filter it out. But one thing for sure, Russia is strengthening its presence, and the United States at this point is weakening in its presence in the Middle East.
Well, there's no doubt about that the United States is weakening. It's just becoming more and more insignificant. And, Dave, you know, it just shows us that the Middle East is just about ready to explode at any point. We never know what might happen in the next day.
Well, you know, Gary, even as we've been on the program, I've been trying to monitor as much as I could what's taking place in the city of Jerusalem with these Palestinian attacks. Thankfully, there have been IDF forces, Israeli Defense Forces, that have thwarted a knife attack that was attempted earlier this morning. What's happening over there is absolutely setting the Middle East on edge. So Israel is again the focal point. You know, this is the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel. And with all of this that's going on that Sam just described, as well as the Palestinian attempt from within the country of Israel itself, to create havoc and to wreak havoc. All of this, gentlemen, is just escalating something that America has abandoned a position of leadership on. It's absolutely amazing. Last night's debate, gentlemen, from a foreign policy standpoint, was absolutely beyond frightening. To listen to Hillary Clinton, to listen to certainly Bernie Sanders talk about what they would not do is just absolutely unbelievable. If one of those individuals were to be elected, it would be the death knell for the United States of America. Thankfully, we have on the other side of the equation some really good candidates, possibilities. So, men, we need to be praying and praying diligently and standing up and speaking truth. We are living in the most amazing days, gentlemen, that I have ever lived in. We are watching Bible prophecy almost being the fulfillment being set up on a daily basis.
I want to encourage pastors out there to preach on Bible prophecy. For some reason, I know that many pastors stay away from it, but I'm telling you what, every day, things are taking place that have biblical connotations. And pastors, I would encourage you to feed your congregation the Word of God, certainly. But a big part of the Word of God is prophetic. A big part of the Word of God. I've heard statistics from one-third to 25% to a third of the Word of God is prophetic, and so it does need to be preached. And so, pastors, don't back down from preaching Bible prophecy, and particularly bringing into that particular preaching what's taking place in the world around us. You know, you talk about what's taking place over in the Middle East, Sam. We've just heard that the mayor of Jerusalem is even asking his people to carry arms. In that city, that's interesting in comparison to what's going on here in the States.
Well, Gary, he did that a couple of days ago, but then just to heighten what Dave is saying, what's happening with the interior minister of Israel has also called nationwide for relaxation on gun control issues so that people can have them more readily available. Isn't that something?
It really is. Do they have a Second Amendment over there, Sam?
I think it's their First Amendment. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Carrying the gun is their survival. It's their survival. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you very much for being with us today. The Lord willing, we will be back in about 23 hours. Until then, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. A quote from James Madison.